from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's a podcaster. I'm not just leaning in right now. I'm leaning over. The podcaster that'll bend over a microphone, hinging at his hips, though. I'm only laughing because I know, I still don't know what that, I still say, am I hinging at my hips? I don't care if it's dance class, meditation class, yoga class, whatever that one is, Pilates class. I said, what do you mean hinging at my hips? I don't know. Like, am I bent? So anyway, patrons, it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. So this is, it's time for the podcaster that doesn't know the difference between hinging his hips. I mean, I do know the difference conceptually. And even when I look in a mirror, I say, well, how am I supposed to bend over and hinge my hips when I'm looking over at the mirror? Like, then I'm probably, oh, it's time for Sleep With Me, though. Sorry about that. It's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And always remember to check our show notes if you need self-care, if you want to support the Black members of your community, our community, because Black Lives Matter, if you're looking to change, or if you want to support this podcast coming out twice a week, check out our sponsors. When your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, think show notes, and then look in your podcast app, because here's what you'll be looking at tomorrow. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast I need you to hear is where I pop my peas and, you know, make noise like that. I want to thank listeners who supported the sponsor so we get you to bring this podcast twice a week. I want to thank Peg B, who supported Grove, Rose T, who supported Native, Becca, who supported Sunsoil. Oh, boy. And they shared on Instagram. Peg sent Grove an email. So let the sponsors know, because especially like towards the end of the year, you know, we're hoping to keep these sponsors on for 2021. If you support a sponsor, try to tag them in a social media post, tag me, or send them a message and let them know their partnership with the show is important to you. And then I could try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Peg, Rose, and Becca. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's going to be links to organizations you can connect with in the show notes. So reach out for some extra help right now if you need it. And then you know what needs our support is our community. So please support the members of your community, our community. You know, start to be a part of the solution, to be a part of positive change, to let our neighbors know Black Lives Matter. If you're looking to change or you've been impacted by racism, there's going to be links to organizations that can help with that in the show notes. And I'm still recommending that a podcast I love, Appearances. Please check out Appearances. It's by Sharon Mashihi, and please let Sharon know. These are the kind of audio artists we want to support and to encourage to keep putting their audio art, these masterpieces, out into the world, to sharing the stories they've created, because it's what makes life, you know, it's what makes listening to podcasts amazing, and what being in the world, I don't know. So please check out Appearances in your podcast app of choice. Appearances is a podcast, like I've talked about. It straddles the line between fiction and truth, between personal essay and a beautiful short story. Appearances brings to life an Iranian-American family and community through the real and fantastical mental machinations, through the journey of its lead character, Melanie, in her, you know, relationship with her family and her journey and her desire to be a mother. So please check it out, Appearances. Check it out on the podcast app of choice, your choice, the podcast app you're listening to right now. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thank Thanks, Mr. Barton. Anybody wants to commission a holiday gift from you as a song, you should go to song.jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget, you can listen to Sleep With Me in your smart speaker if you want. Just tell it to play Sleep With Me podcast. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So it could be thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, things on your mind. So thoughts, feelings, it could be physical, feelings, physical, things you're feeling physically. Thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, that's what they are. So thoughts are things on your mind, you like on your mind or in your mind. And then feelings are any emotions coming up for you. Thoughts are about the past, present, or future. Same with the feelings and physical sensations. Could be something else, so changes in time, temperature, routine. Yeah, when I'm recording this, it's actually, we just fell back. And that's, so that's always, it can throw people off. Not as much as a springing forward. And you would think that if it there was a year to get rid of all that, it would be 2020. I mean, 2020, we could use all the sunlight we can get, right? Am I right? But, you know, they say that, I don't know, I said, don't most clocks reset themselves? What is the... What's the hang up here? But I think we even tried to pass a law in California, and they said, yeah, we'll do a, well, we passed a, I think a law to make a study to not change it. To say, okay, we're going to put a task force on that. They said, what do you need? You need a task force to figure out, say, just don't do it. Like, here's the thing, time change. Don't like, it changes on its own. Time just it keeps moving. Or does it move at all? I don't know. And that I want to think about it at bedtime. Thanks, Scoots. Yeah, you're right. These are the kind of things that go through my head at bedtime. But I'm trying to speak out on your behalf and say, hey, let's get this off of all of our collective plates. But so we did fall back. I did actually get an extra hour of sleep because of it. So the thing would be, like, you could do that, but just do it every... Can you do that fallback thing every single night till we get back to the... Like, there's a proposal. And again, no better time than the present to test it. Let's just fall back every night until, you know, permanent. You know, what is there, 30 hours in a day? 30 hours in a day? No, 24 hours in a day. There's about 30 days in a month. There's like 27 or 28 days in February. Let's try it on February. Fall back month. We're the month where we fall back every single night. So you get an hour, extra hour of sleep. May throw other things off. But these are the kind of ideas. Oh, so sorry. It's time for Sleep With Me podcast about your sleep. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake. It could be any of the things I listed. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So I'm going to go off topic, as you've seen already, early. I thought I was going to be talking about whatever I was talking about in the intro, which, hinging at the hips makes me, you know, like time changes make my hips whinge instead of hinge. But whatever's keeping me awake, I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. And a couple of things if you're new, or a couple of things to know right up front. One, this is a podcast that is very different. So if you're having a tough time or you're wondering, what is this? What is going on here? What is this person? I say, yeah, no, that makes total sense. This podcast is a bit different, and it takes a few times to get used to, or to get used to so much that you stop paying attention to it. So if you're skeptical or doubtful, that totally makes sense. I want to acknowledge that first, because I would be if I was new to this podcast. And most of your reviewers do say, yeah, it takes two or three tries to get used to the fact that you don't really pay attention to this podcast. So that's the first thing I think to know is, like, this podcast is a bit different. It's, you don't really listen to it. You just kind of barely listen to it. You say, okay. Yeah, like, hinging at the hips. Kind of like, that's a thing. Like, that's the difference between a Zoom yoga class and a real one. Like, especially if they say, well, you could turn your camera on or off. I'll say, oh, I'll turn it off. And I say, oh, okay, but unmute yourselves. And then if the teacher, I want to, how come no one's, are there yoga professors? You say, well, are you a yoga instructor or a yoga teacher? I'm a professor of yoga. I guess I would be a yogi, but that's a different kind of yoga. But when the teacher says, hinge at your hips, if it was in Zoom class, I could say, oh yeah, teach, I'm totally hinging at my hips. Oh boy, my back is, whatever you say, like you say, stack those vertebrae and make yourself taller. That's another one. I can never wrap my, I say, okay, make myself taller. If I could have done that, I would have done it a long time ago. These are concepts I'm not making fun of. I really just struggle with it. I say, okay, pull your head up, like you're on a string. And I try to do those kind of things, especially when the teacher's there. And then the teacher, and I have a pretty, my personal boundaries extend a ways out. So then they come, like, back when you used to take classes, which for me was like 10 years ago, they'd come and they say, okay, no, this is your hips, or pull your shoulders back and down. And I say, I don't know what you're taught. I don't know. You got to put my shoulders are down. No. Just like when a photographer says to relax and be natural, I say, okay, there's just zero. Thanks for bringing that up. Now there's zero per chance, zero. But with a Zoom class, you could say, oh boy, my hips are hinged. Oh boy, are my shoulders down and back? They've never been more down or back before. Okay, so what was I saying? So just barely pay attention to me. I mean, I think that those kind of things qualify me for putting you to sleep, not for mastering body. I mean, I'm trying to be more aware of my body. It just feels to me like my hips and like I just got one body. I don't have like if I was an action figure, I'd say when I play with G.I. Joes or whatever Barbies, I can totally hinge their hips. I know exactly what you mean. And right now I'm holding my lower back and trying to just feel. It does not feel like my hips have a hinge in there. I'm not kidding. Like without a I think that, isn't that why they made the spine so flexible? Like, so you could just roll your spine over. This was in the early days, not to go off topic yet again, but they're like Always Sunny is a show that's been on the air for a long time. And I can still remember one of the early seasons they were lifting something. They said, you got to lift with your back. It was like, I don't think I've ever laughed more hard in my life. No, you got to, are you lifting with your back? That was the joke in there. It was so good. So anyway, okay, back to the, where was I? Oh, I was trying to tell you I was trying to tell you not to listen to me. So I think I got that covered. Don't, just barely pay attention. Listen loosely. And also there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour and you can fall asleep whenever you want. That's why the shows are so long. So you can just drift off. And if you can't sleep, I'll be here to keep you company to the very end. So I'm here or if you wake up or if you need the podcast during the day. So it's a podcast you don't listen to and you don't really fall asleep to it. So those are two things you need to know. The other things you need to know if you're new right up front, which is like I'm already 10 minutes in the show. The structure of the show is very different. Clearly, show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. And that way, you know, you're welcome. Then there's business or then there's the supporter stuff and supporting the listener stuff. Then there's business or that's all in the beginning, the first 6 minutes or so. That's how we keep the podcast going. Then there's an intro from about minute six to a minute 20 or so. And the intro is like a show within a show. The intro ideally introduces the new listener to the podcast and either helps you unwind or puts you to sleep or like is part of your wind down routine. And that can really throw new listeners off because they say, well, when's the show going to start? When are you going to start talking about Mandalorian? And I say, well, around 20 minutes in. And then you might listen to that. You say, well, when is it going to get sleepy? I say, well, it kind of already, like, when's the story start? And I say, well, the idea of the beginning of the intro is for a regular listener, it's familiar because I always try to explain what the podcast is. Then I go off topic. My hips do come up every 6 months because I remember one of my autobiographies was going to be the boy that didn't know his hips. I forgot what it was called. But, you know, the boy whose hips never hinged, the hingeless hips, the tale of the hingeless hips. Oh boy, was that a classic tale. The hips without a hinge. The hips, and then the hips, the sequel was even better. Unhinged hips. Oh boy. And then, of course, the bonus content that cost extra. Unhinged hips after dark. Okay, so where was I? Oh, so the intro goes on and on and on to give you some distance and help you ease you into bedtime. But you could also skip it. Like 2% of listeners start the show at 20 minutes. Then another few, I think a couple, like a decent amount of patrons listen to story-only episodes, which is just the story portion of the show. But for most listeners, and this isn't, you can, as you become a regular listener, you can kind of decide, or it can change. People's relationship with the show changes all the time. But you can kind of see how it goes, because the image I have in my mind is that you're easing into bedtime. You know, you're doing something, stretching or relaxing or doodling or petting your pets, maybe brushing your hair. I don't know if you're doing any exfoliating, but you could. I mean, like exfoliation creates a noise, I think, because what's microderm? Is that a thing? Or what about that? I saw this the other day. My daughter got one. I can't remember what material it was made out of, but it's like some sort of like a granite roller, or maybe it's made out of some other material that you put in the fridge or the freezer. Maybe you're doing some granite rolling or foam rolling. That's what I like to do. Oh boy, do I love foam roll. I mean, I don't love foam rolling, but I do practice it. So whatever, the podcast is part, supposed to be part of that, that eases you into bedtime, becomes part of your bedtime routine, gives you some distance between the daytime and the nighttime so that, you know, that you can wind out. Because I know for me, it's never been easy falling asleep. So like, I don't want it to be a rigmarole. Ideally, I take the rigmarole out of it, but it does take some getting used to. And so the other things are, the reason I make the show because I've been there. I know how it feels. And what it's like to dread going to bed, or to just wonder, oh no, please not again tonight. You do some of that bargaining. Please don't let me think of all the, like as I'm getting ready for bed, please don't let me think about time and the structure of time. And please don't let me start doing math about the 24-hour, the proposal for February I made. And if that would be possible to fall back every single night. Well, that seems reasonable for 2020, or I guess that would be 2021. How about that? What if we redo 2020? Has anybody proposed that yet? I mean, for me, it's November 2nd. So, here in the US. So, when you're listening to this, I hope you're great. You say, what about a redo? Think about it from 2020's perspective. 2020, say, can't I get it? Are you going to give it over 2021? I love this idea. Fall back every day, 2020. No more daylight savings or whatever either. Give me a redo with those things. But those are the kind of things I don't want to think about at bedtime, or at least not think about, but ideally I'd prefer they go through my mind like a sieve or a sieve. Here's just something that popped in my head. A sieve named Steve. Have I ever said that on the show? If I had to name a sieve, I would name my sieve Steve. If I had a sieve, I would name it Kiv, I guess. Kiv, short for Kavina. So I don't know. I'm here to take your mind off stuff and bring some levity to bedtime, ideally. Yeah, and take your mind off stuff. I guess like to put a little fallback in that you say, well, at least I can fall back into bed with Scoots. And he's going to talk about stuff tonight. He's going to talk about the Mandalorian. He's going to mispronounce Timothy Oliphant's name. I thought he would mispronounce Oliphant or Oliphant, but instead he mispronounced Timothy. And so the intro goes on and on and on so that you could fall asleep. Then there's the story. Tonight I'll be talking about episode 9 or chapter 9 of The Mandalorian, The Marshal. And if you haven't seen the show, or you might, you know, don't worry. This will be like a bedtime story about I think it would have probably references to Caesar Milan in it, because there was a lot of animal training and treat motivation, I think, going on in this show. So we'll talk about that, and we'll have some thank yous. So that's a structure show. It's a podcast you don't really need to listen to or pay attention to. I make the show because I've been there, but also because you deserve a good night's sleep. And if you can get a good night's sleep, you're going to be in a better place to live your life a little bit more fully. Or just not to be grouchy. Like, I get grouchy. Holy mackerel, do I get grouchy. And, you know, the days when I'm not grouchy, my life's a little bit better, and the people I encounter, their lives are a little bit better. So that's what I hope I can provide. Now, like I said, the podcast doesn't work for everybody. It's a little bit different. So just give it a few tries and see how it goes. But I'm glad you're here. I really, really work hard on the show. I really, really want to help you fall asleep. I appreciate you coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to make this podcast possible for you twice a week.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. I don't know if it was Don Henley or somebody else is saying, but we're back in the Mando life again. Was that Don? I think it was Steve Winwood, maybe, it was singing that song. Both Hunter and the Hunted. This is Chapter 9, The Marshal. I actually started the wrong episode. So I said Star Wars Open. Then I heard beep, 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 and I said, oh, wait, that's episode 1, not episode 9. Precisely Dexter voiceover, Way of the Mandalore. I don't think that says Precisely Dexter, but the finger, there's the bit where he's touching Oso's finger. There's voiceover about the Way of the Mandalore, the Code of the Guild, Navarro. Namando going rogue. This is all the recap of last season. No life for a kid. Old way. Showdown. Yoda power. Songs of eon past. Battles between Mandalore the Great and a sorcerer's named the Jedi. By the Creed, it's in its care. You must reunite it and feel so good with its own kind. This is the way. We see Trouble with, I put X-Wing Trouble, but it's actually a TIE fighter. Secrecy is important. Take care of the little one. This is the way. Oh, he takes off. Oh, that's when we see the dude coming out of the X-Wing. And then we see Lucas, this is made by Lucasfilm, Star Wars helmet or type shots and droid shots. And then it opens. We're back. Isn't it nice to be back here in the hands of capable storytellers, in my opinion? I say, oh boy, I can relax and kick back and just enjoy an episodically modular series, in this with a touch of seriality. So it's night. There's lights, street light. Well, first we see city lights and a man in his floating pram just walking. Yoda's sitting up for the ride, taking it all in. Oh, Oso, excuse me. I think Oso's in a robe now. I don't know how long that's been, or maybe a burlap sack. We see graffiti through the town. It's anti-Pac-Man ghost graffiti. They say, we don't like this is a Pac-Man friendly town where they don't like stormtroopers or Mandalorians. But I would assume it's based on Pac-Man. We also see red eyes, so some puppies or something, keeping an eye on Oso and the Mandalore. I don't know what secret cookies are in there. What do they call those, brownies, when you hide something in a show? Is it a cookie? Cookie's something else. Is it a cupcake when you hide something in the background of a TV show? Anyway, they're looking for Gore Koresh. And the person, they go to like a door person and they say, enjoy the games. Then we see our first tangent, because I got to talk about Gamorrean guards briefly. And I haven't talked about this in a while, but once upon a time when I was a boy, just young lad, bit older than Oso, or physically, because I'm a human and not a like a Yodish being. I made my first trip to the first two movies I saw that I know of were Sword in the Stone and Fox and the Hound. And I think that was on their second runs in the theater. And I remember begging to see Empire Strikes Back, but I was too young. And we saw Return of the Jedi. And that was the first movie I saw, because I'd convinced myself that the movie theater would be Star Wars based. Like that it would have, what you would call nowadays, like a Star Wars pop-up shop, and that they would either be giving away Star Wars action figures or we would have an opportunity to purchase them at a very big discount. And I don't know what convinced me of this, but I was holding on as it was truth, and I decided I would purchase or if they were giving away for free and we had a choice, I would pick a Gamorrean guard. Because they were bigger, and I figured I'd just get more value. I said, well, that's the biggest one I could pick out. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to pick that one because I get the most value out of it, the most bang for my buck. I mean, if I could go back in time and say, we got to get the Boba Fett one because that's going to worth money. But alas, they weren't giving away Gamorrean guard figures. I guess the action figures came out before the movie because I knew about the action figures before I saw the film. But it was great to see a movie. So the Gamorrean guards are doing, they're doing some sort of Gamorrean version of sumo wrestling. And they have electric loincloths. And I don't know if you remember that movie. That was one. What's it called? The Last Electric Loincloth. That was a classic. I thought that was a Disney film. Or maybe that was a remake that I saw. That was one of those videotapes they found in the woods on a trail. The Last Electric Loincloth. But it really was. That would be the fan fiction I would write about this. Oh, and again, just when you feel like you're in the hands of a capable person guiding you through an episode, you really. There's a lot of a subtle misdirection that I enjoy, or playing with your what you anticipate. So I really enjoyed that. Oso is very active in body language, not liking this situation. And there's more than one case where he say, is also going to be an active protagonist in this. So I really like that build up, and also just watching Oso take stuff in and process it, and a lot more Oso sound effects. And then there's this thing, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. That's like, I don't know if that's a truism. That's something my dad used to tell me when I'd ask, I'd say, well, can we get some action figures? He'd say, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And I'd sit there, like, I'd say, can I get an action figure? But in this one, yeah, so there's this person, that's Gor Koresh, Oso's, or Mando's meeting up with him. What's up with the kid? Where I go, he goes. And he says, what's up? I say, I got to track down some Mandalorians. He says, it's uncouth to talk business right away. Then he says, are you a gambling man? And the dude says, do I look like I'm wearing shiny armor of a high-priced metal that's known for its armor-based properties? So wouldn't that give you, isn't that your answer there? I'm covered in armor. And he says, so are you a gambling man? And he says, not when it can be avoided. And the guy says, yeah, Beskar, what about, I like that Beskar armor. The Mando says, well, I don't leave anything to chance. And then Gor Koresh says, Gor Koresh played by John Tesh? I don't think so. But I think it's played by, I can't remember. Because we saw, whose name did we see in the credits? I said, who did they play? I'll think of it. But nor do I. Thanks for caring. Hidden hives to harvest, Hester value. I don't know what any of that says. Thanks for coming by. But basically what happens is, he says, they say, we're going to take your electric loincloth. Oh, also Oso gets in his seat when he knows there's trouble. Hidden hives to harvest. Does somebody say that? Thought you weren't a gambler. Let's see. I'm not. I guess I'm ahead of myself, or I'm behind. Oh, he basically says Beskar's price is rising, and so I'm going to take your armor from you. Hidden hives to harvest. I'm just trying to see if that's something I imagined. Everybody out, so they say, when he says I don't gamble. Thanks for coming to me. Oh, yeah, I've been having to go to your hidden hives to harvest because I love Beskar steel, because I can, you know, it's a, whatever, it's good for hedging or whatever they do. Harvest your precious tiny shells. I'm fond of it. So I'll take it now. And Mandalorian, you know, he doesn't take the stuff. He goes, tell me where the Mandalorian you know about is, and I'll walk out. We'll all walk out of here. Oso hides, and he basically, they can't match up against, electric loincloths or not. Mandalorian says, of course I have an electric loincloth, because, you know, what do you think powers my suits? It's just an interesting sequence of the electric loincloths. A couple other people have like electric shoulder plates and stuff, but no match for the Beskar. The character runs off. He's wearing a cummerbund and a tuxedo jacket. And the Mandalorian hangs him up, Din Djarin, and he says, guys on Tatooine, promise me you're going to let me walk away. And he goes, I promise you I'll walk away. Yeah, where's the Mandalorian? Tatooine. You swear by that? Yeah, I do. Only Mando I know is on Tatooine. Mandalorian goes, I was just there, so I didn't see any Mandalorian. He goes, it's good, man. City of Mos Pelgo, I swear by the Gothra. And Mando says, Tatooine it is. And then he turns out the lights, and Gor Koresh is kissed by puppies. Sees that. And then we have the opening of The Mandalorian, Chapter 9, The Marshal. Then we see the whatever that the ship's called. The Razor Crest is in space with music. There's a planet. There's canyons. There's Tuskens. I already forgot what their other creatures are called. They're beasts of burden, but I'll remember that too. We see planes. We see a city. We see, and then we find we see a Sidaris. Top one of the top two Sidarises on the planet. You know, tough to choose between two, you know, Amy and David, but on an episode of The Mandalorian, I'll take Amy. Writing a short story about Amy Sidaris's time on the Mandalorian. I'd say I'd take David probably, or I'd take both of them writing about it separately. He lands, droids, you go, he doesn't like droids, have at it, so he likes droids now. Guess a lot has changed since your last, oh, there he is, thank the Force, oh so cute, give me that baby. Come here, you little womp rat, and also makes some sound effects, looks like it remembers me. How much you want it? Just kidding, not really, if this thing ever divides or buds, I'll pay for the offspring. And just don't feed it after midnight. Then the droids are having an issue. There's just like a little comedy sequence, you know. Give us a little lightheartedness. Here on business, need your help. Business you shall have. You want me to babysit? No, I'm quested to bring this back to its kind. Can't help you there. Never seen any one of these, and I've seen a lot. I need a Mandalorian, another of my kind. They'll help me through the coverts. She goes, I never see you're the only Mando I know. What about Mos Pelgo? Oh boy, haven't heard about that one. I thought it was gone. Wiped out by bandits. When the Empire fell, it was a free-for-all. That's why I still stay in the city walls. And she brings up, she goes, R5, get over here with the map. No, take your time. More comedy. Can't get good help. I don't even know who to, it's just really good. I mean, this show is so worth watching if you're not watching it. So she shows him a map, shows him where Mos Pelgo could be or once was. That's where it was before. Take your time. Oh, she's talking R5. What was there? He goes, did you guys that speeder bike? She goes, yeah. Then we go, he takes a jump off a sand dune. Oso's on the side, loving the ride. You know, the desert air and Oso's baby hair. We see some sand people, Mando, they share a fire, they talk, they have dinner together, and they're using their combination of language and sign language and, you know, sharing a meal. Oso's sitting there too. Then we have more driving through the desert. We see, do we see Womp Rats at some point? There's more driving. And then Mando rolls into town. When Mando comes to town, that's another song. Who sang that? When Mando comes to town. But people give him a WTF face. They don't seem very friendly. So he goes straight to the bar cantina. That's where, you know, at least in film and the saloon, I guess, in this situation. Frontier town. Actually, it's not from Frontier town. This is a mining town. And the frontier mining, maybe? I don't know. But what do they say? It goes to the bar. I thought at first I was definitely confused because I wasn't paying close enough attention on my first watch, which was for pleasure. So that's okay, you know, when I'm watching it for fun. But I said, is that the same bar and bartender as the Gum Chewer episode? But it's not. It's a different, you know, because he hadn't been to the city before. He had to get directions. There's also an ATM in the bar. So if anybody goes there, it could be one of those bars they say, we only take cash, but we got an ATM over there, $20 service charge. Oso sneaks into the bar and but Mando goes, you seen any Mandalorians? He goes, Mando, what a little, and he goes, anybody like me? Bartender says, we don't, you know, we don't get many visitors to these here parts. But he's pleasant enough. And he goes, well, that would be the marshal. And Mando goes, marshal? And he goes, yeah, see for yourself. And then we have a classic stare down as the marshal is in Mandalorian armor, not shiny Mandalorian armor, in the doorway, striking a very interesting, different setup than our Mandalorian. And he walks up, what brings you here, stranger? You, I'm looking for you, many parsecs. He goes, okay, two snorts of spatchka. He goes, join me. And he takes his helmet off. His armor has seen a lot of action. It's got a lot of pockmarks, a lot of damage. And then he takes his helmet off and we say, holy, 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 holy. And great hair, man. Timothy Oliphant's. What a cameo. I don't know if this is a cameo, but it's a cameo. See, what a series of cameos for Sleep With Me. We had Oliphant in a good place. Now we have Timothy here out in the outback. He goes, yeah, you're probably, no. Oh, also Oso's in a spittoon, like looking in a spittoon. And Timothy Oliphant says, you've never met a real Mandalorian. I know your reputation precedes you, though. And clearly, you know, I'm not a Mandalorian, but I'm wearing Mandalorian armor. So why don't we share a drink? Because probably going to be trouble, eh? But then he goes, and I see this little guy here looking in the spittoon. So maybe I have you wrong. Maybe you're not a B-U-L-L-Y. So sit down and let's talk. And Mandalorian goes, who are you? And he goes, Vance Cobb or something? He goes, I'm the Marshal of Mos Pelgo. Keep peace in this part. Yeah, Cobb Vanth. He goes, where'd you get the armor? Bought it off some Jawas. Where do you think I got it? Mandalorian goes, hand it over. And he says, look, I know you were used to being the boss, but I'm just here. Have you seen my hair? Maybe, he goes, I'm in charge here. And Mandalorian says, take it off, man, or I'll take it off you, which is not very, but I mean, Mandalorian's known for his brusque demeanor. He goes, there's a kid here. And he goes, yeah, I already dealt with somebody. And Cobb Vanth is, you know, the marshal says, okay, well, if we have to, we have to, unfortunately. But obviously, you know, if I'm an authority figure in this town, I can't have you coming in and doing it. And then the earth starts to shake. Oso hides right in the spittoon. Poor Oso. And the Cobb Vanth, the marshal, holds up a 1 second police finger. We see a windmill. We see rumbling. We see people running. Wind picks up. The sand begins to move. And at first I thought it was a sandworm. It's dinner time. And I said, holy Dune Tremors and Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. I'm not going to say it thrice, though, because I don't need to. And maybe it's a worm. Oh, and then they're together as this sandworm-type creature goes through town, snacks on some friendly character. Just a kiss. And then he says, maybe we could work something out. And the Mando says, work something out, how? And he says, well, this thing's too much for me to deal with. It's a crate dragon. And he goes, maybe if you help me, we can make a deal. You know, you help me, I give you the armor. And Mando says, okay, fair enough. Well, that's a deal. He goes, so what do we, and he goes, I know where it lives. I also said, Cobb Vanth, can you actually, like, I realize, can you keep that helmet on or keep your helmet with you at least? I mean, I know you got that square jaw and the beautiful hair, but can you at least, can you? Oh, also, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that was yet another time. I said, oh, holy, holy. So town cleans up, and they head off into the desert, the two of them. Mando on his speeder bike, and Cobb Vanth on, like, a pod racer-type vehicle. And they're talking. They say, let's do some driving and let's get some exposition in while we drive. And the Mando says, it sounds exactly what I like, man. And Cobb Vance, and again, I like, because I missed the exposition earlier the first time I watched. So don't tell me once how you're going to do things. Tell me twice. So Cobb Vance does, but in more detail. He says, okay, so the Death Star, second Death Star, right, Mando? Goes bye-bye. Everybody's partying. Bar was packed. Fireworks. We're watching on the news. But he goes, there's a vacuum, power vacuum. And so the mining collective comes in. And he says, one thing I got to say, this is my favorite bartender. I got to save my bartender. Not knowing that people in the mining collective don't know how to make drinks. So they're going to need a bartender anyway. But I guess at least initially, he says they got a real. They probably had to realize it. So he does say, okay, I got to make them appreciate that they need a bartender. So he saves the bartender. He says, I took what I could, I was saved. Oh, so he takes what he can. Ends up he grabs like one of those buckets. That's also like a safe and a cooler, like that had Beskar seal in it. That's what you use to carry around your valuables. And different planets, but you also the people that don't value floating prams. I'm sure out here they would, because if you're in a mining business, you say, well, what do you need these beasts of burden for? I'll just bring over some floating prams. They throw them away over on this other planet. Cobb Vance runs, and then he wanders in the desert. So definitely this cool Western feel. He gets picked up by the Jawas. And the Jawas love the crystals. The crystals he has, Ciliax crystals, are high value, very high value. So he goes, I got more than a full, water bottle. You know, they offered me their most expensive items. And also a callback that I remember. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to watch it again to be sure. But I think they have the CLOWN head of a droid that is in the first, the original Star Wars that came out first, when they're in the moving thing. They still haven't been able to sell that because it's like, they say, I don't want a droid that looks like that. It's unsettling. Let's see, right now he's drinking water. All the Jawas are walking around. They're going to start, they open up his safe and they say, whoa boy, purple crystals. This stuff's great. So they offer him his finest wares. First, like a Dyson vacuum. Then, like R2 type units. Then, I'm pretty sure, let's see, is it coming up next? He sees the Beskar armor, or the Mandalorian armor. Yeah, there it is. It definitely is. I don't normally notice these cookies, but that's definitely the CLOWN droid from the first movie. Never liked that thing. Never will. Talk about Holy Claire Bell, right? Or what's that slappy from the bumps of when your hair stands up books. Okay, so where are we? So then he goes back to deal with the mine. He gets the armor, goes back to deal with the mining collective. Marshall's back in town. Shows down with them. They run because they're B-U-L-L-I-E-S's. He jetpacks them out of there. He says, not only are you going to, now you're not a mining collective because you're tried to become authoritarians. Now you're totally out. So collect your mining and get out of town permanently. Went on their permanent record because he's a marshal. He keeps permanent records. So they're gone. Then they're in the Desert Canyon. Now we're back to the present. Enough exposition, they say. And I say, well, that was delicious. So they're in the Desert Canyon. They stop. There's lots of sound effects. As far as I know, we meet a new type of being, a dino dog, which Mando charms the dino. First, the Cobb Vance is a bit prickly sometimes. So he says, what are you doing? The Mando says, these are dino dogs. You just pet them and you treat them with respect. Then some sand people come, and Cobb Vance is like, what are you doing? He goes, they communicate for a while. He goes, they want to kill the, or, he says, they like the great dragon, which is like the Sandworm, to move out of town as well. So if we could get that to happen as a team, that would be great. Then we see another thing, like we see the one of the Sand People cleaning one of its beasts of burden's teeth with its like stick that you've seen in a lot of sequences before in Star Wars sequences with Sand People. And then they sit by the fire. They're supposed to share this drink. The dog's like, oh, so it's like a carbon smoke plant, a drink that you share. And Cobb Vance is stubborn. So he says, I'm not drinking this. So, you know, I don't abide by Sand People. And Mandalorian says, you're the one who's stolen all their water. And so he raises his voice. Mando says, talk with your inside out voice, you know, campfire voice, man. And they start, well, Cobb Vance starts arguing. So then the Sand People are arguing, you know, strongly reacting to his argument. So Mando waves the fire of peace. And he gives him a coach talk. We're talking to just like a coach, like in a movie. He says, everybody sit down. And we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it in a way that moves forward. Either we work together or we work in opposition. And it's going to be a lot easier to work together as a team and do this as we have a shared goal. So put your hands in here and we'll ride out to the desert. Then it's morning and they're on the horned beasts of burden, which don't worry. At some point I remember what they're called. They go through the deserts. A couple of them go up to the cavern. They leave like a couple of energy bars at the entrance of the cave. And they say, yeah, the Sand People have been feeding this thing more and more over the years, like thousands of years, or I think, or hundreds of years. So they sleep longer. More you feed it, so you give it an offering of Bantha bars. He says, you give it 5 Bantha bars. And then Cobb Vance says, what are the Bantha bars made of? Banthas? He goes, no. Bantha pies. And Cobb Vance says, the Krayt Dragon eats Bantha pies? And then there's a long sequence where they go through and they say, well, the Bantha has like 44 stomachs. It consumes its concentrated nutrients to the Bantha, to the Bantha, it's waste. But the Bantha actually consists on things we would, it's just a weird thing. Bantha's made up, you know, it's a desert dwelling creature. And then Cobb Vance says, so in that case, what does a Bantha eat? And Mando says, waste, you know, and he says, so wait a second. And he goes, yeah, the desert's not a totally closed ecosystem. Also, it had a Sarlacc before, which brings up like the idea of like, last time we saw Cobb Vance's armor was in a Sarlacc pit. So they do that Bantha bar thing. Then there's a Wookiee call that Obi-Wan did. Sandperson runs, but they don't run fast enough. And the Krayt Dragon also watches too and makes sound effects. But the Krayt Dragon says, enough Bantha bars. I want to lick a Sandperson. And it does that. And they go, oh, snap, man. Any fresh ideas? And we get a bare sense of the Krayt Dragon size. Oso cute in this, man. Oso hides, pops its head up. Then they have a meeting with the Tuskens. And they say, okay, let's bring it together. Let's cross it. Let's swirl it around. They have a whole model set up. Cobb Vance says, it's not that big. And man, he's Cobb splaining things. Mando says, they know what they're talking about, man. And so they say, well, how are we going to do this? They're trying to plot it out with a model. Cut it, pad it, mark it with a B, tickle its belly is eventually what they come to, which is a nice way to solve a problem. But they say, how are we going to do this? We don't have a way to do this. Mando shares an idea in Tusken. Then there's more rocks. I don't know if the rocks are like many acorns. And the cop says, where are they getting more people? He goes, your village, dude. He goes, you want to do this? So then they drive back, which is a strange, long, non-talking sequence. So I don't know if they cut the dialogue or, but it's like about 4 seconds. I said, that's a long 4 seconds. Then the town, they have a town meeting. Town will listen to reason. They respect you, Mando says. So go into that meeting and give it everything you got, kid. And he says, we're equal. We're, you know, and then he's this. So then he says, this is a Mandalorian. You ever heard of him? Yeah, we heard the rumors about him. You know, they're not easy to deal with. And Cobb goes, yeah, they're good at stuff. And he goes, see, this one's got a problem. I got his armor, and by law, I got to give it back to him. So I worked a deal, though. I've got a problem. Great dragon. And then he goes, not only is that dealing with the armor, like our mining stuff, he goes, there's a school in our town, you know. And he goes, we got to protect the school. That gets everybody on board. Vote Cobb 30, 34, whenever. He goes, a Mandalorian's going to help us in exchange if I give the armor back to him, which just seems like a fair deal. Everybody says, well, that's good. The bartender goes, perfect. Bar tab paid up. And Cobb says, yeah, we need help. He goes, we need all you and all the sand people. And then the people have, they have their own, ideas about sand people that aren't based in fact, more based in feelings. So the Mando makes a speech. Goes, yeah, you got your differences, but this, we all have something in common. Haven't you heard this idea of common enemy? We got a common enemy, great dragon. So we can put aside our differences and work together. He goes, also, they keep their word. We made a deal, and the deal's going to be good. So we got to leave it its carcass and ichor or whatever. And they said it'll be peace unless you start trouble. That's what they say. So everybody nods. And then we have the, then Mando and Vance meet together. Okay, joining forces are our only hope. Our only hope is when, I don't know if they have to say that in all Star Wars things. Like another fine mess you got me into. But then the sand people arrive on a caravan of banthas, and everybody starts loading up. There's big music, lots of staring from the townspeople. Somebody does say, we could use it, if only we could had more floating prams, we could get there. Also, I wanted to say, like, if you watch this, watch, look at a bantha face. I have resting bantha face. That's the exact way my face looks 99% of the time. And this is not a joke. That's my normal look, is the exact look on a bantha's face. So I don't even have resting bantha face. I have 24/7 bantha face. So you could call me bantha face if you want. I don't think we need to hashtag it. Just say, Scoots, do you really have, oh yeah, I've seen a picture of you, except when I'm posing for pictures, then I have uncomfortable, bantha waist face when bantha's making a waist. So anyway, somebody drops something, there's a big argument, and they say, let's work together, man. And that's what Cobb Vance says. Then there's shots of the desert, caravan, they go to the cave. And then we have some great A-team prep work. So for the rest of the episode, I'm going to present this to you in numbered order. So these are the steps. This is like a 34, I don't even know how many step plan to deal with the great dragon in a sequence. So this is the sequence. Step one, look at the cave and stand around. Step two, one person, preferably like not you, walks to the cave. In this case, it does have to be a Tusken. Have them feel the ground. Do a dramatic cave shot. What's going on? They listen to the ground. They say, it's sleeping and snoring. Okay. Three, drink the the drink that shows unity, the carbon smoke drink, to show that you're unity in a team. Step 4, carry a bunch of stuff near the cave. Step 5, dig a trench and bury the ticklers. They have the little ticklers that they're burying. So they have a combined thousands of these things, like back massagers that are battery operated. And that's their plan. I think they presented their plan. I didn't communicate it. Or maybe they did reveal it as they're doing it. They say, okay, we're going to get it out here. These are remote controlled. Turn it on. It'll tickle its belly so much that the thing will just move out of town because it doesn't like being tickled. Great dragons. Doesn't like it in a way where it doesn't prefer it. It says, I prefer not to be tickled, so I will leave the area. Also, they have these vibrating Nerf darts so that are shot out of Nerf crossbows. So those also would stick to you with a suction cup and vibrate. If you were a crate dragon, it would tickle. So they set that up. That's step 6. Also do some narration of your plan during this time. So step 4, carry stuff. Step 5, dig a trench, put the ticklers in. Step 6, get the Nerf crossbows with the ticklers ready and narrate your plan. Step 7, bury more ticklers, ideally with more great music and narration. Step 8, get the remote control, have a kid bring the remote control to you to show one more likable moment and get the remote control for the remote-based ticklers. 9, take possession of the remote and tell the kid to stay safe. Step 10, walk and observe progress that has been completed or almost completed at a distance. 11, everybody get ready and anticipate something getting ready to happen. Step 12, send 3 people this time to walk towards the cave, ideally. You know, not from your party, as everybody would think. But these, Tuscans are much more brave. Plus, they can do the call. So then they do the call. Make the call. Step 13, run as fast as you can. Step 14, run faster than that. Step 15, use vibrating Nerf darts. Oh, they also have streamers attached to them. 16, hold the streamers that make it even more powerful via tickling vibration. Step 17, watch. You didn't overwhelm it with tickling, so the crate dragon suspects something and starts to retreat. Step 18, it doesn't totally retreat, so just wait for a second. Step 19, throw Nerf balls, everything you can at it, more Nerf darts. Also in step 19, then run, throw more stuff, shoot more Nerf darts, wait with the remote control because we only have one shot. Step 20, you've made it. You've gotten the crate's attention again. Shoot more Nerf darts and hold on to them and try to pull them so they're getting the most tickling. Step 21, never mind, run away again. Step 22, the crate dragon disappears. And the bad news is when it hides, it comes back out and it has ability to slime people and cover you in gross, gross slime. Step 23, I can't read. It looks like it says now, but that can't be it. And now wind. So let's see what happens. So they're getting slimed right now. Oh no, it didn't hide yet. It just slimed the people. Oh no. Yeah. So I'm ahead of it. So it doesn't go and hide. So it slimes them. Then they try the ticklers. But the crate dragon just happened to be moving when they launched the ticklers. So that says now. Then there's wind from so much vibration of ticklers. But the crate dragon goes under the ground. Oh, dear. Because now the crate dragon takes the high ground and starts sliming everybody from above. Step 24C, somebody say womp rats, or we're caught like womp rats. Step 25, heroes, put on your helmets and fly using the jetpacks while Oso watches. Also, if you have any hero music, play it now. Step 28, we have superior nerf vibration tickling weapons, it with feathers, use them. Keep doing that. So keep shooting it with feather-based nerf darts. Okay, step 28 didn't work. Step 29, run away by air because we have jetpacks. So run, but by air. Step 30, we really irritated the crate dragon. It's get ready because it's disappeared again. Step 31, turn around. It's behind us. Step 32, run again really fast. Step 33, ideally get a new idea. Step 34, let's make it really mad. Use your super, your thing that looks like a Nerf dart, but it's really full of water because it's just a sponge, so that'll really get on its nerve. Step 35, this one's right out of the Mando playbook. The old, the total heroism, take care of Oso because I can't take care of him now because I got to do something super heroic for Oso. And because it's the right thing to do and I'm capable of doing it. 36, wait with the Bantha that has a bunch of backup vibrating ticklers that have double feathers on them. Step 36B, hold on really tight to the Bantha because it doesn't want to be, it doesn't want the Great Dragon to come so close so that it gets tickled. Step 37, is a mystery because the Bantha Mando, so mystery move, but it really has paid off almost instantly, but it's a mystery right now move. We don't know where Mando, the Great Dragon, or the one Bantha with all the ticklers went. Oh, the earth shakes, then the Great Dragon bursts out because on step 38, what you really did was the old Nostromo or whatever Pinocchio's dad's name was move, or Pinocchio, into the belly of the whale. Scoots has probably used that five or six times in his stories too. Also do the electric slide with the ticklers on the inside of the Great Dragon. That'll tickle it twice as much because great dragons have double the nerve endings on the inside. Step 39, great dragon runs away, but also leaves behind tons of nutrients because it was so tickled so much that the great dragon, also like Banthas, leaves behind lots of nutrients. That's not even gross because it's just a fact of the life in the deserts. Also a lot of water. In its own containers, purified water. Step 40, do a lot of close-ups of everybody and hugs and cheering all as well. Step 41, clean up. Oso even gets one of the pieces of leftovers in Mando to say, this is great stuff. This is even lasts longer than Bantha bars. Step 42, I guess this is more than four, return the armor. My pleasure. Also let your people know I didn't break this. You're good, man. Do that thing. You're a good father or a good person taking care of Oso. Well, you're a good marshal. Hope our paths cross again. Step 43, for the sand people, find a pearl that was a lucky, must have been like a lucky charm, but it wasn't so lucky for the great dragon, so that's good for them. Step 44, just like you would expect, ride off into the desert sunset to awesome music. And that ends, that ends the episode. Sunsets. Sorry, I forgot the main part that would have been good. So ride off into the sunsets or sunrises because there's two suns or moons on the planet they're on. Step 45, be viewed by a mystery figure that's, maybe Boba Fett, I don't know, but but then also the one that was probably in the other episode. And then we'll go through this time. There's 11 pieces of art. There's a, the first one is the Great Dragon against the end titles. Then a Bantha ride into the sun, suns. Then a speeder bike ride with Oh So Having Fun. Then four, the dude from the beginning upside down. Oh, that, let's see. Now that the titles are running, I can figure out who that was. I don't know how my mind is totally blank, and I know exactly who it is, but I can't think of it. Unless they do the voice for somebody else. And then I'll go to, there's a speeder. Oh, they're holding hands. Where am I? Pedro Pascal. Oh, John Leguizamo. Yeah, sorry, John. That's terrible. Okay, so the dude upside down. Then Boom Sheriff. Then the dogs in the canyon. Then Oso playing with a womp rat. Then Art 8 is Fireside Chats. 9 is Mando. And the Sand People or the Tuscans. I don't know what they prefer to be called. That's why I keep calling them both ones, because I say, well, I don't know what they want to be called. Then Mando and the Great Dragon, number 10, when he was flying out of the mouth of it. Then 11 is the Sunsets or the Sunrises in the Mystery Person, shot from behind. And there's a zoom. There's the old... that effect you use with pictures is named after a famous document to Ken Barnes. Why can't I, Ken, the famous PBS documentarian, Ken, anyway, you know who I'm talking about. It's right in my brain. It's just not accessible. But that effect where you're zooming in a picture and moving it, and that's the end of the episode. Welcome back, Mando. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently and supported the show. I want to thank Carson, Spring, and David. Thank you. Thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Ryan, Nicole, and Madeline. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Emma, Michelle, and Adam. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Kinga, Erica, and Andrew. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Kizzy, Emily, and Kakate. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Sarah, JR, and Kimberly. Thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Char, Christine, and Bridget. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Amanda, Neo, and Josephine. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Miranda, Alyssa, and Javier. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Ashley, Laura, and Brandy. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Yaffa, Bruce, and Jacob. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Kevin, Linnea, and Joshua. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Kelly, JC, and Donna. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Rachel, Dungeon Mama, and Elaine. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Stacy, Desiree, and Walid. Thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Ellen, Seth, and Laura. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Viv and Angela. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because we will support this podcast either directly on Patreon or support our sponsors. And we grow this podcast by people simply spreading the word and letting other people know about the podcast or podcasting in general. You don't even have to talk about Sleep With Me. At least initially, just show people, you know, how to use the podcast, or ask them, what podcast app do you use? Oh, what podcast do you listen? Oh, you don't listen? Let me show you the app. And just start a conversation around podcasts, and everybody benefits. You get to help somebody. They get to discover podcasts, and all us podcasters get to keep doing what we're doing. So thanks, thanks, everybody, and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.